Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Numbers. Please open your Bible to Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 20.
All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, we're only going to look at verses 10 through 20. I couldn't even finish up the chapter. Couldn't even do it. We got some more things to talk about. So that means that it's going to be a part three to this message. If you already had a tough time with part one, part two is going to stump on your toes a little bit more. Then we got a round three. Might as well make it one, two, three, punch. Father, thank you again for this time you've given us to look into your word. We pray, God, that you would visit us here, Lord. Thank you so much for your presence. We pray, God, that you would speak into our hearts, soften our hearts, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is going to say to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 11, looking at verses 10 through 20. The title of this message is The Danger of Complaining, Part 2. The Danger of Complaining, Part 2. Some of y'all know y'all need this. Whew. Now, in part one of this study, we saw three things about complaining. Number one, it displeases God. Complaining displeases God. Number two, God hears it when we complain. And number three, God gets angry when we complain. Then we saw how our complaining causes us to get burned. We talked about that and what that means in part one. Now we pick up the story in verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. Now, in this verse, we see that Moses heard that the people weeping, and everyone came to his tent, and they were weeping and crying. Now, why were they weeping? Because verse 4 said that the mixed multitude yielded to intense craving, so that the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" And they were crying out for meat to eat. And all they had was manna. And according to verse 7, manna was like a coriander seed, and its color was like bdellium. And also, according to the very next verse, verse 8, it says that it tastes like a pastry. I don't see what the problem was with manna, you know, tastes like a pastry. I'm thinking donut or some kind of, you know, jelly filled or something. I don't know. It just said it tastes like a pastry. And so the mixed multitude, who were probably Egyptians, who were reminiscing about the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the melons that they used to eat, got tired of eating manna. The question that I have to ask you is, are you tired of the manna in your life? Which means, are you tired of your lot in life? Are you tired with where God has you right now? 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Are you content in your walk with the Lord? Or are you like the mixed multitude reminiscing about your past or what you don't have? Are you thankful for what you do have? Do you realize that your discontentment can affect those around you? It affects your spouse. It affects your children, your coworkers. I've seen, if I had a penny every time I've seen this happen in the 20 years of our church, I will be a millionaire. Some woman gets in her feelings about something at church, either something I said or something somebody else did. And then she goes home and complains to her husband. Then the next thing you know, her, the husband, and the family leave the church. I've seen it so many times, even guys in leadership, where their wife get in their feelings for some kind of reason, and then she starts chirping in his ear. The next thing you know, now he's complaining. And then next thing you know, I already know, when I hear that she's in her feelings, then all of a sudden, I know she's going home to tell her husband, and I sit back and wait. And what I'm waiting on is for the husband to start repeating what I know that the wife said. Because now her complaining becomes his complaining. Because when we complain, it affects those around us. And this is what was happening in our story. And as they cried out for meat in verse 4, the people came weeping to Moses in verse 10. They're complaining to Moses, even affected him, because he went complaining to God in verse 11. Look what it says there. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these folks on me?" Moses started complaining to God and said, "God, why have you done this to me?" Notice how he's blaming God. To God, this sort of mess that's going on, it's your fault. Why have you laid this on me? Why have you laid this burden on me, Lord? Why haven't I found favor in your sight? Moses is now complaining to God for giving him such an ungrateful group of people. Oh, he continues, because this whole section is called the Lament of Moses. Look in verses 12 through 15. It says, "Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to your fathers?' Where am I to get meat to give to all these folks? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please just kill me here now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Like I said, this section is called the Lament of Moses, lamenting over his circumstances, lamenting over the fact that he's been put in such a position by God, oh, big, meanie God. And he's blaming God for his circumstances. He says to God, "Did I conceive these people? Did I carry them in my bosom? Did I nurse them," according to verse 12? Then he says, "Where am I going to get enough meat to feed this mob?" According to verse 13, then he says something very important in verse 14. "I am not able to bear all of these people alone." Watch this. "The burden is too heavy for me." Even though we have all felt this way before, God has promised in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. This is where we get the saying, "God will not put more on us than we can bear." This is where we get that from. Just know, when we feel burdened and overwhelmed, it's because we have placed a burden on ourselves that God never intended for us to bear. He told us in Matthew 11, verse 30, watch this. He says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." So when we feel the yoke of bearing and raising a bunch of children without a spouse, God never intended for us to bear this heavy burden alone. This is why he designed for two parents to conceive a child, so two parents can raise a child. And the burden, when we do things outside of God's will, is the burden we brought upon ourselves. My wife was talking to a relative, and he was complaining about the back child support that he had to pay, to the point where he was hating his ex-wife. And my wife told him, "You're not paying her, you're just paying her back. She already raised your kids. So you're just paying her back." See, the thing is, this burden that we feel, whether it's the burden of quote unquote, child support or the burden of raising a bunch of kids without a spouse, we brought that burden on ourselves. We violated God's word and had sex multiple times with multiple people, and children have different fathers, and you're crying out how burdensome it is. We put that burden on ourselves. We put it on ourselves. We just got to look in the mirror and just say, okay, it's a big horse pill. I'm going to have to swallow this. I'm going to have to take this. I did this. You can be mad at baby daddies and all kind of stuff. You can be mad all you want. He didn't make you. You were a willing participant in the situation as well, unless it's an unfortunate situation of a violation of a rape or something. But 9 out of 10, that's something you brought upon yourselves. But here's the thing. God loves you. He loves you. And he's able to forgive you. Yes, he forgives us and restores us and loves us. But you still got to take care of those babies. You do. You do. Yep. You still have to. And it's the price. It's just what it is. And it's just what has to take place. And this is the price that has to go on. But he loves us. And he forgives us. And he restores us. And you too cry out to Moses. Cry out to God like Moses did, should I say. I'm not able to bear all of these children alone. And there are those of you who feel like Moses in verse 15. Look what he says there. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wickedness. Moses said, if you're going to treat me like this, then just kill me. I mean, let me tell you, I find it hard to be able to talk to God like this. But Moses had God and Moses. Exodus 33:11 says God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So Moses had this thing, even to the point where Moses was like, one day he just said, you know what, this me and you, we talking, we right here, God, we right here. You know, won't you just show me your glory? And God took him and tucked him in the cleft of the rock and had his afterglow kind of pass him. An amazing thing. So God, Moses and God, they were, I couldn't talk to God like that. I couldn't even look up in the sky. I just think he looking down and just, I'd be scared. Moses just said, if you're going to treat me like, just kill me. Kill me then. And maybe you're here and you feel just like Moses. You feel like giving up. You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like ending it all. And this is where God wants us, not in despair where we give up our lives, but he wants us to come to the end of ourselves so we can come to the beginning of God. He sees and he knows what you're going through, like he did with Moses. Help from the Lord will come when we find ourselves at the end of ourselves like Moses did. Watch this. At the end of verse 15, when he came to himself, he realized what was going on. Then he says, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Have you come to the point where you have seen your own wretchedness? Meaning, instead of blaming God for your dilemma, you realize that your own wretchedness put you in the position that you're in right now? Have you come to the point where you realize that you can't do it alone without his help? Until you come to this point, God will not send you the help that you're looking for. You will continue to blame God and other people and try to do things in your own energy and your own strength, and you will fail. You will fail miserably. Moses said, do not let me see my wretchedness. Moses knew he would mess things up in his own strength. Oh, look at what God does in verses 16 and 17. Look what he says there. So the Lord said to Moses, Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same spirit upon them, and they will bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. So Moses realizes that he couldn't do it alone. So God tells him in verse 16 to gather 70 men and give some qualifications who are elders of the people, not just any willy-nilly person, no, who are elders of the people, officers over them. And God said in verse 17, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall help bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. See, sometimes we think that we can do it alone, that we don't need any help. I don't need a man. I can do it myself. Okay. You can't do it alone. That's your little mechanism of trying to geek yourself up in some kind of way. Yeah, you can't do it alone. We all need help. We cannot bear the burden of the ministry or the burden of the marriage or the burden of the child raising alone. I love the quote from John Maxwell. He says, one is too small of a number to achieve greatness. Listen to me, you loners, you Lone Rangers. Let me tell you something. Lone Ranger wasn't alone. He had Tonto. So do you think you're this Lone Ranger, you can do it yourself? No, no one has done anything of any significance alone. Oh, no, Lindbergh, he went across the... Hey, let me tell you something. He had a team of people to make sure the plane was squared away, make sure he was squared. No one does anything of any significance alone. No one. No one of any greatness can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. Even, you know, we have to look at this thing and just say, we need to stop trying to be he-man and he-woman and trying to be, oh, I can do it. I don't need, get out of the way. I don't need it. See, whenever I hear someone say, I don't need anybody, that's your pride talking. And that's, you're talking out of your hurt because you've been hurt by someone and now you're going to put this shield up. I don't need any help. It's just your pride talking, your hurt feelings. Allow God to heal your hurt. You do need people. You do. And those of you who are trying to do it yourself without any help, you will get to the place Moses did where he wanted to die. However, his sorrow, watch this, led him to repentance, where he said, do not let me see my wretchedness, where the sorrow of the world leads to death, like 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10 says. And many of you single moms have come to the place of the sorrow of the world that produces death. But the only reason why you have not gone through with it is because of your love and your concern for your children. Let me just say this. Let me just say this again, that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much, and help is coming to you and is coming for you. And don't throw in the towel, because right when Moses wanted to give up and die, God sent him help. Your help is on the way. I don't know what form is going to come in, what way is going to come. Your help is going to come. I'm so thankful for the help that God has sent to our church to help me to bear the burden of the people here. God knows I needed it. Because some of y'all's burden will put me right to the, send me right to the grave. Sometime I come after hearing some of y'all's burden, I bleed on the way home. I'm just like, good grief. Only God can help you. Some of the stuff y'all get yourself into, I'm like, good gracious. Whoa. And you want us to come and try to make heads or tails of this mess. Like, you kidding me? My goodness. I'm searching the database of 31,173 verses of the Bible, and I'm like, whoa. Take two of these and call me in the morning. Whoa. Some of y'all are a trip, boy. Y'all have tangled up some mess in y'all's life. So I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for assistant pastors and leaders and ministry leaders and paid staff and small group leaders. All of them, they help me in the ministry. And we saw it all displayed. And the volunteers here, we saw it displayed, you know, this past Sunday. These people have helped me bear the burden. So, I can do the things. I can give myself, as Acts 6:4 says, give myself to the ministry of the word and to prayer. So I can go to the gym and keep myself physically strong to be able to do the services and amount of services that our church is doing. I'm thankful for everyone that participates and helps. And there's a group of men on Sunday mornings that I get together with on Sunday mornings and pour into them, because they're helping bear the burden, bear the load. This church has outgrown me 15 years ago. And so these other leaders are helping to bear the burden of the ministry, because ministry is a marathon. It's not a sprint. The first 7-8 years, I sprinted. I was gone. I was young and just, I was going for it. 2003, I hit the wall. You know, the marathon runners, all of a sudden they hit the wall and they can barely keep their legs, you know, and my legs were gone. I had to sit myself down somewhere. Listen to the birds sing in my backyard. I was a mess. But I came back, and I came back too soon. I needed some time away. And then what I said was, I said, you know, at the 10-year mark, I said, I will not run the next 10 years like I did the first 10 years. And God began to send the help that was needed. Church was growing. Things were just going crazy. We first moved June of 2002. Within the first 4 months, the church doubled. And then we were back at, we're at two services. Then 1 year later or so, we're at three services again. It was just craziness going on. We're behind the eight ball, just trying to catch up. It was just nuts. And then I said, I can't do this. I said, for me, Marine, to admit that, I said, I can't do this. Not at this rate. And the Lord, and at that time we had a Sunday night service. So it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. And I said, oh, no. I said, first things first, Sunday night is gone. Done. You know, I always get the itch to do it again. But I just said, right now, oh, no. Not right now. Mm-mm. I know this game. I know this marathon. Nope. Mm-mm. So God began to send the help. And your help is coming, too. God sees the burden that you're under. God sees the struggle that you're going through. And your help is coming, not when you try to do it in your own strength, but when you realize Moses, his own wretchedness. And he said, I can't bear this burden alone. You can't do it alone. There's a saying that we have in ministry, never do ministry alone. Jesus always sent them out two by two. You never do ministry alone. You can't do it alone. You can't go out, I'm going to go out evangelizing alone. You never do that. Satan will eat you up out there. You go out two by two like Jesus did. One talk and the other is praying. You're not double teaming, tag team. Okay, your turn to hit them with about 10 scriptures. Your turn now. No, that person be like, what's going on here? I felt hijacked. No, one talk, the other prays. And that's that. Then the next person, then you pray and they talk. You don't go double team. You all zealous and all just got all this energy and then y'all both trying to talk and the guy just head bouncing from the scriptures. Boom, 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 boom. No. Oh, everyone needs help.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' Kingdom Vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.